He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Monday afternoon, September 8th. Good to have you. Good to be here. Good to be live on this wonderful Monday afternoon. Getting ready for Major Wager tonight. That's right. It's back, baby. Carter. All of us are going to be down there at me and Ed's Victory Grill right before Monday Night Football. That's right. Vikings, Bears coming up tonight on 1430 and coming up tonight at Major Wager. Me and Ed's Victory Grill should be a lot of fun. We'll get into that. We'll talk about what Major Wager is. If you've never been to Major Wager, let me tell you, you're missing out. And why don't you head on down over there. We'll give the details here momentarily about all that and fun stuff. But we're good to be here. Good to have our show back again after a long extended weekend, NFL weekend, Fresno State weekend, even some baseball. I could get into today as well. So we got a lot to discuss in terms of everything that is going on here in the sports world in the Central Valley. So we'll dive into it all, and we'll get into it, as I said. Good show today. Before we get into that, big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us here in this hour. Tony D's show, 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays between 2 to 3 p.m., like I said. And Sportsline Bulldog Hour, you can listen to it live and on demand on the app now, ESPN Fresno app, the ESPN Fresno app. Just go ahead and search that in your app store, Google Play Store, all of that. We have it for you here. On demand for you. 1430 ESPN Fresno.com as well is the website. You can watch and listen to our programs live and on demand as well. So be sure to visit that. You can visit all of our fun promotion stuff like that as well. Student Athlete of the Week. We're still doing that. Looking for submissions for this week. You saw something big over the weekend in terms of high school football. We'll dive into it for you as well. So, like I said, good show on the docket for you. Let's get to some of our sponsors. Lee's Air Hotline is the way to reach us. The Lee's Air Hotline, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. The Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. The way to reach us. Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. You got a hot take, as hot as the weather, potentially, or you want to talk about how good the Bulldogs are? Maybe. We'll see. How are you feeling after a big win over that Oregon State team? Can't wait to get into that. So if you want to get into the conversation, we're going to talk about that right here at the top of the show. So once again, 559-320-1430. We're on to 5 o'clock today, so inviting into that discussion. Lee's Air Weather Check, 90 degrees is our high today. 90 is the high today. Folks, we're getting down into the 80s next 4 or 5 days or so. It's going to be nice. How about Wednesday, 82? Might need to bring a jacket. I don't know. Getting there in terms of it. But can't wait to see some of the cooler temps. I'm seeing 89 as our game time temp for the game against Southern on Saturday. So, folks, pack accordingly. Get ready accordingly. It's going to be a beautiful Saturday evening at Bulldog Stadium this weekend in terms of that. But we got a lot long ways to get to before we dive into that game. Like I said, we're going to be diving into a lot here today on the show. We're going to get into everything in the weekend reaction. Got a couple of great guests as well. Our friends from the Fresno Police Department and Fire Department coming here to talk about their big game coming up Wednesday, September 11th baseball game. You've been hearing the promotions on it. We're going to have our guests in here talking about that right now. Soon we're going to have them in about 10, 15 minutes or so. And then in the second hour, the Fresno Grizzlies are poised for a championship run, and they have their home game tomorrow in the divisional round or first round, whatever you call it. I don't know exactly what to call it, but the Grizzlies are playing a home game tomorrow. Johnny Bravo, the man who has always been with us for the Grizzlies season, is joining me at 4:15 to discuss Grizzlies baseball. Big matchup tomorrow. And by the way, just another reminder, 790 is the home of the Fresno Grizzlies playoffs. You can listen to every game on 790, home and road. That's right. We have the game tomorrow night on 790, and then the road games, which will be Thursday and Friday. And then if they advance, they'll have a home game Sunday, and then the potential road game Tuesday and Wednesday. So that is your playoff schedule for the Fresno Grizzlies on their way potentially for a run at a California League championship. Can't wait to dive into it all here on this wonderful Monday afternoon. We'll get you set. Head off to 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, you'll hear Vikings and Bears right here on 1430. But also, head on over to me and Ed's Victory Grill. It's Major Wager Monday. And like I said, you're wondering, hey, if you've never heard of that, what is that? Major Wager, place where you can go get some ESPN bucks, hang out with your friends, eat some pizza, watch Monday Night Football, and wager on a lot of the prop bets we've created for you for the game tonight. You can use those winnings to win some prizes, spend some money on some prizes, some silent auction items that we will We do a real auction there. It is far from silent in terms of the auction. But we auction off some great prizes for you at the end of the night, and we want to see your smiley faces there. So Monday Night Football, hang out with us, ESPN Fresno, every Monday night at me and Ed's Victory Grill this week and this year. Can't wait to start it off with Vikings and Bears. All right. Before I get into anything, before I talk about anything on the show and what we have witnessed from the sports weekend, of course, I always have to ask the question that's always on my mind on these Mondays to my great producer, who is behind the glass today, solo doloing it today, in the producing chair. But sometimes maybe that's the way he likes it. And it's Jorge who's behind the glass. Jorge, how was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. I'm all by myself here tonight.
You are? You feeling lonely?
A little bit. But yeah, some great football that we saw this weekend. So, man, I haven't seen a week one like that in a long time.
Last night.
I don't think I ever seen a week one like that.
Last night I needed a sandwich. Yeah. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Jesus.
From the Bills and Ravens game. We'll dive into that a little bit more. Yeah, what a crazy weekend of football. All that fun stuff, all that great stuff that is involved. College, pros, even high school. We had some good time in the high school game on Friday as well. Paul Betters and I calling the game in Clovis West and Edison of Stockton. We have Bullard in Bakersfield this Friday. Pat Hill's going to join us again. Can't wait for that. So, we'll dive into it all. I think I'm going to save some of the high school takes for tomorrow. We'll have a certain guy from KMPH coming on tomorrow, so we'll save the high school takes for them. But let's dive into the number one thing, which was Fresno State football, I think, is the way we start. Fresno State, a win at Oregon State. First time ever in program history at Oregon State. We've beaten Oregon State before, but to go to Corvallis and the Chainsaws and the craziness of the football game with all of the different plays, all of the different special team shenanigans that Oregon State was dealing with, Fresno State took advantage of the opportunities and got a victory on the road, including a game-sealing field goal, and then, of course, the game-sealing pick six as well. I really, really thought this was a fascinating game through and throughout, and I had a lot of fun watching it, and I had a lot of anxiety watching it. I consumed it at the Red Wave Inn. Shout out to the Red Wave Inn right across the street from campus. We create a fun atmosphere. And, man, we were going through it. we were going through it in that place. But it was good to hang out with friends and watch it. Jorge, how did you watch the game on Saturday?
I was home. Actually got there just in time to start watching it.
Yeah, because you were wrapping up with Paul, right?
Yeah, we wrapped up with Paul and we finished up. And once we got that all together, yeah, it was I probably missed like the first 10 minutes of the game, but
everybody did. Let's be honest. Everybody did because the CW and the CW app. You saw all that drama, right? With everything like that with couldn't play the game on their app. Eventually, I guess the Pac-12 finally like tweeted out that they have streaming it on YouTube.
Yeah, stream.
Yeah, I don't know if you got a chance to watch that in some form or fashion.
I actually set up my antenna and catched it on Channel 53.
Hey, yeah, they're locally. Yeah, CW there. So
I had to like stand up sometimes to change it because it was kind of, you know, bad. But other than that, I caught most of it, yeah.
So many things in this game that were so strange from a perspective of watching football. So much of it benefiting the Bulldogs. Once again, it felt like the Bulldog offense was playing somewhat decently. It wasn't like the A-plus or A game for me. It was the B game of the offense where there were times where we couldn't be stopped, and then there were times where you head scratch in terms of what was going on in some certain play calls or some certain execution standpoints. I think the obvious answer is what the hell happened with special teams for the other team. There's one thing to be the beneficiary of bad play by another team. It's the other side of the coin is to be opportunistic when those teams play horribly on an aspect of football. The Bulldogs could potentially have squandered opportunities in terms of how bad the snapping was for the situations for Oregon State, which I don't know if you lived under a rock and didn't watch anything that happened on the special teams. Those were the glued in moments I was on, and I'm sure everybody else was keying in on, okay, what's going to happen here with this field goal unit or what's going to happen with this punting unit? I remember an experience right before the punt situation. Remember where Fresno State returned it after the punter kicked it off the ground. I remember sitting there right before that play got snapped. I was like, I don't think this is a guaranteed play for them. And I was talking to friends. I'm like, I am locked up. This could go horribly. And sure enough, we all started cackling in the bar at Red Wave. And everyone was losing their mind. And it just kept going. Comedy of errors. And I think it was Adam Carrillo who returned it for a touchdown. Local Clovis guy. Able to do it, and the Bulldogs taking a lead right before the half in terms of it. So just a wild, wild sequence of events in terms of it. Jaden Carrillo. Jaden Carrillo was the name I was looking for.
I wasn't aware that you'd be able to return.
I wasn't aware either, but that was awareness in terms of the Bulldogs.
Yeah, because I thought it was a dead foul ball, and it did.
I was praying it wasn't. Yeah,
I thought the dogs would take over at the spot of the foul. But
well, they said if they didn't touch the ball, it would have been first, because Matt Ants cleared it up. It would have been first and goal at the 4 for the offense regardless.
Oh, okay.
It would have been first because it was a 15-yard penalty and he kicked it at the 19. So once the illegal kick happened, the worst the Bulldogs are going to sit there and do was ball at the 4, first and goal.
Yeah.
But then again, our red zone wasn't really particularly great getting into the end zone. So I'm glad we returned it for a touchdown and made it happen. Made for one of the all-timer kind of plays. Where were you in terms of watching that one?
Yeah.
That was my play of the game. I know the pick six got everybody's attention in terms of the end of it. But to me, that was the play of the game last night.
I feel like my play of the game was the sack. Right when they were going down. I felt like that changed the momentum.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I feel like they would have scored, and then the Dogs wouldn't have caught up.
Mm-hmm.
But when he sacked them there, I think it was fourth quarter, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it just it felt like you had a chance. Like, the Dogs had a chance. Like, and the little momentum that Oregon State had recovered from that drive that they were going, had just stopped. Everything stopped.
Jaden Davis, I think, was the one that had the big sack in that last bit of drive. I'm going to look for the play in the play log if I can find it here. We're going to the fourth quarter, right? Looking for it.
Yeah, because they were traveling. They were passing the ball well, and they were moving quickly. And all of a sudden, once it was third or fourth down.
Jason Jacks had the big sack with about 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Then they kicked the field goal that was very short. You remember the ball just kind of rolled up to the kicker, rolled up to the snap guy, or the holder. That's what I'm looking for. That was a big play, too. Yeah, you're right. Pushing it out 40 yards, you should typically hit that. But because the ball was rolled up as a snap, that really screwed things up for, because that would have put Oregon State into a two-point game. And then, of course, I don't know. Here's where I ask you the question. 2:13 to go. You're in your own territory. It's 4th and 2. You go for it and run out the clock for the Bulldogs. I'm not second guessing anything that happened. We won the game. I wonder if there was a little like, could we have been a little aggressive there at 4th and 2 regarding the fact that I felt like OSU need to score the touchdown anyway. And they did, by the way. They did with 1:26 to go. So regardless, I don't know if it would have mattered anyway. Oregon State was moving that ball in the final drive. So, but I feel like you were going to give the ball back at the 30. And
a lot of people are looking at the way that special teams played and how many errors they had. But there were also a couple of errors in the coaching staff. And that doesn't mean it's not unusual that that happens, but, it's not – everything's not, just special teams. I feel like when you lose as a team, not just individuals.
Now – a lot still being made, and I think it was still being made in the media with the interception that EJ threw. It's another one, and he's still without a touchdown. He ran for a touchdown, so he has a touchdown in his tally, and people are going to make that part of it. But I like how he's using his legs a lot more. I think that's a plus in terms of it. But people are still paying attention to the interception. I'd encourage you to go watch Kurt Warner on Twitter. And I know Kurt's probably going to be the biggest defender of EJ Warner, and you could view it in the biased lens. But he does do a good job of explaining when EJ threw that ball, right as he threw it, Josiah Freeman was bumped off his route. And you can't anticipate that if you're a quarterback, if a player is going to be illegally touched down the field in terms of that. So you could chalk it up as a potential miss by the refs of Josiah Freeman getting bumped off the route in terms of that. And that's why the DB had a better shot at it, because Freeman was put a little more flatter in terms of the post route instead of him actually going and beating somebody deep. So it was an interesting perspective. I still don't think the throw should have been made, but I understand why it looked so bad as opposed to, oh my God, why is he doing this? It was 15 yards over the head of his own receiver. You know what I mean?
So I feel as though the Bulldogs are better off with him, and they could win more games than any other quarterback that they have on the chart.
He can run, man. Like, look at that last drive. His legs made it happen.
I mean, honestly, I think his experience that he has, yes.
That was as good of a two-minute drill as I saw from somebody since Tanner.
He's not the best quarterback, but I feel like he's the best we have.
Like, we haven't seen a game-winning drive like that in a bit as a quarterback, right?
Correct.
Like, I'm trying to think. Was Mikey a game-winning drive against Purdue? I think that was. That was, like, the last time we've had a game-winning drive that I can remember when Mikey beat Purdue at the last minute. And we're calling him Magic Mike. Magic Mikey, right? And since then, we haven't really had somebody who's been able to do the two-minute drill, execute, and actually make it happen. And I commend him for it. Because you could play scared in that situation because you threw 5 picks and you've turned the ball over and you're still waiting for that touchdown to happen. And I guarantee you we'll see that touchdown this week, because we all know what's going on this week in terms of Southern and Fresno State. And if it doesn't happen that way, then all things do it. But anyways, good win by the Dogs. I want to dive into it more, but I know we have our guest here still waiting, so I want to make sure we get into that. So we're running out of time here in this first segment. So let's take a break. What are your thoughts on the Fresno State Bulldogs win at Oregon State? Historic win. First road win for Coach Entz. First road win at Oregon State. Bulldogs 2-1. Got Southern this week. Suddenly we could be in store for a decent potential win streak here for the Bulldogs. So we'll keep that conversation rolling. Behind the Bench is just underway here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
Running
All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Back again with some great guests that have decided to join me here in studio and can't wait to dive into what we got in store for you this week here on 1430 ESPN. Pleased to be joined by Robert Valdez, Jeff LeBlue, and Mark Anderson from the Fresno Police Department, who are coming in to talk about a fantastic event on Wednesday. Guys, how are we doing on this Monday? How are you feeling?
Great.
Good.
Feeling good.
Thank you for having us today.
Fantastic. Glad to have you all in studio and excited to talk about what we got in store for Wednesday, of course. And what we're talking about, of course, is the PD versus fire department baseball game. This is last year was the restart of that. And remind me again where we.
So this is our third.
Annual, but it was the second time it was public. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this community event. This
community
is the
event.
Time that we had the community event.
Exactly. So making it bigger. Making it exciting for the folks here. It was a big game last year for bragging rights. And to my understanding, I think it ended in a tie.
It ended in a tie.
We don't talk about that.
Ties a loss, right? No, it ended in a tie with a play at the plate, which didn't go our way. So we've increased the innings this year.
Okay.
We increased the time. We were on a time crunch last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna get 9 innings in 3 hours.
All right. So yeah, I was curious because I remember the tie aspect of it, and so I gotta imagine there's more juice now because now the score has not yet settled between the two departments for this game.
And you have to wait a whole year. Yeah. And I keep reminding the guys on the team, tie, huh, guys? And they, of course, don't like to hear that.
Mark, when you think about that, I'm like, does it just fuel everything between the two departments in terms of that? Or like, wow, we don't have this thing settled just quite yet from 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, we have some unfinished business, and we'll take care of that on the 10th.
Jeff, same question to you, right? I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of our players. I'd speak to some firemen, but they aren't necessarly the players. But when you bring up the tie, it's a thorn for sure.
Yeah.
So I've talked to some of our players who've gone on calls with the fire guys, and they mention it. You know, they give it to each other a little bit back and forth. But you know, we are respectful to firemen.
Of course,
we're appreciated that they decided to agree to play the police department in this game because it means a lot more than just the game.
Absolutely, and that's what we can talk about here next. Of course, is around the calendar of and every time this time of year comes up, it brings up a lot of memories of obviously September 11th and everything that surrounds that. It's now we're what 24 years removed potentially, obviously from that event. And as we continue to honor that day, I know the event's on Wednesday. It's going to be Wednesday, September 10th at Bulldog, the baseball stadium there. What is reminded as we get closer to that day and what this day is going to be about for you guys?
Sure. Yeah. You know, we talked about it last year and just the sense of code, the sense of honor, the things that drove us into law enforcement. You know, you question as you become an old guy, and everybody in the room's an old guy.
Yeah.
And you question if everybody is the same, and it's nice to reset that thought and get dialed in and remember you're an American and you're here to serve your public. And that's what they did that day. They served, and that's what we ultimately do. And I always hope that the members of our community understand that we have a servant's heart, and it's about them before it is about us.
For you, Mark, the same kind of question to it. When the day gets closer, and obviously this event honoring that camaraderie between the two branches that help serve the community here, but reminding of yourselves of what transpired in New York and in that time, what comes to mind when the day approaches for an event like this?
It's tough when you look at, you know, what happened on that day, but having police and fire come together and show the brotherhood, the sisterhood, the camaraderie, everything that took place on that day, and it's just an honor to be able to play in a game and just remember and honor one another.
Absolutely. And Robert, the continued growth of this, obviously the first time the public is able to be around this event and watch it. And this year, you know, the reminders of the camaraderie between the two departments. But, you know, what is the big message behind an event like this for people? You know, there is the fun in the games, but there is also the community aspect of an event like this.
I think that the community gets to see us as just normal people enjoying a baseball game. When we were approached about something like this, we said, let's do it for our members and the fire department. And let's do it right around 9/11. Our guys were excited. We did play the sheriff's department about 10 years ago, but I don't think it was a 9/11 event. And I just think this makes it special. I know that the feedback we've gotten from our members and their families is just, they look forward to this now. Regardless, we kid about the score, but it's more like just us getting together as a first responder family.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, it's a mixture of obviously the fun of it and the remembrance of it. And what is the day like for people? You've been a part of this event last year. Tell us what the day is like for the people who enjoy it and surround it as far as the Heroes United Baseball Classic. You know, for you, obviously, getting ready for a game like this. What's the day like for you?
Well, I'm going to have to go to work in the morning for about 5 hours. I have a training that I have to attend. And then I'll start taking some equipment out there, start setting up. We have booths available this year, which we didn't really have last year. We will have a food truck with tacos available to the people for purchase. And we're having a baseball softball tunnel for the kids to maybe learn some instruction on how to hit off a tee. And we have a golf simulator out there.
Yeah.
And GB3 is going to be out there as well. So we have a couple of things, and then you're going to be out there.
Of course,
so
I am. Great. No, it'll be great. I can't wait. It seems like it's been growing in terms of the interest of it. And you know, when I'll go to Jeff or Mark here. You know, when you see the growth of interest and things are adding to this event, what does it tell you about the community support around it, and what people, you know, feel about supporting an event like this for either department?
It always feels good to have community support. I think, you know, just given the way that the media can run sometimes, and, you know, the 1% is a lot louder than the rest. I've always been really happy with the support that we get from the community in Fresno. But it's great to have them come out, see how the families interact together. It's kind of a reunion for a lot of our people. You know, you got some legacy cops, you got some legacy firemen, so their dads come out, they're former servants of the community. And so all around, it's a super positive event. I think it's supposed to be 82 degrees that day.
It's beautiful.
We never get that in the summer in Fresno.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a fantastic night.
Yeah, you guys are getting it easy here with the weather and everything like that. Mark, when you know, obviously, I think you mentioned something really important there. Everybody's coming together and seeing each other, right? And you maybe not get that opportunity every day when you get to see a lot of the people together. And I know everybody has, some people still have to be on duty, everything like that, but I'm talking just that aspect of seeing each other. What is that like to have something where everybody can really see each other from the department in a game in a setting like this?
Well, you know, it's a different setting. It's a happier setting. You know, we're not on a call where things are kind of chaotic and, you know, things of that nature. So we can, you know, we can joke and laugh. We can, you know, high five each other and just see each other in a different light. You know, and regarding the community, I'm not surprised with the amount of support that we get from the community. I think we have an awesome community. I can't tell you the number of times that people approach me in uniform and just want to come up and shake your hand and say thank you, things of that nature. Buying you a cup of coffee, you know, when you're in a restaurant or something that fashion. So we have a wonderful community, and we appreciate them.
One of the great selling points of this game, Robert, we were talking about this last year, is this ain't just beer league guys just coming out and playing baseball. This is legit. Like, there's some legit talent, like guys who used to play professionally or even at the college level.
We have two guys that played professionally at one point, and we have a lot of guys that played either Division One or D2 or JC. A lot of local talent from Clovis High, Roosevelt, a lot of the high schools. So it's going to be an exciting game. And I know the Fire guys, they have a lot of talent as well. And it's a very competitive game. tell you, last game, the last year's game, it was a play at the plate. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And I think that it's going to be just as good this year.
What is it like recruiting for an event like this, just internally with the department, at least on the police side? You don't have to pitch it, really, I would imagine. It's just guys wanting to be available for it. So what is it like?
So we make it available to all our members. If they want to play, they go out and practice. But some of these guys, just they're not able to practice because due to work schedules, what have you, other family commitments. So there, we have about 22 dedicated guys that have been going to practices and really working hard on their off time as well. Getting ready. I mean, you've got guys saying, I got to get ready in May just to throw. So it's the same with fire, too.
And the mayor jumped at the chance for opening pitch. So
okay.
That's good, too.
That's awesome. The mayor's going to be there. Hopefully, maybe we can get him on the show. I don't know. We'll see. Putting in a request now. I don't know if the mayor's listening, but we'll put in the request now. Exciting time. $10 general admission. Of course, what does that benefit for the folks in terms of the admission price there?
So we haven't grown it to the point where it's really kind of a net negative or a break even is what it's been for the last couple of years. So it's really been just for the membership of police and fire. We would love to grow it into something that was making money for, you know, we have a Caring Cops program, which is an arm of the FPOA that gives back to the community. And I know fire they have different programs that they do that also give back to the community. But right now it's really just kind of balancing it out. And it's a reason or a way for police and fire to get in touch with, you know, Fresno. So as we eventually grow, it probably will turn into a charity event. That's what we would love to see. It being year one, it's still kind of slow going.
Yeah,
you know, some of the aforementioned pro players, when they go 0-for at the plate, he knows who I'm talking about. When they go 0-for at the plate, you know, he's got to start hitting the ball. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, $10 is pretty cheap to go to any event in Fresno.
I bet.
And we have it one of the best, in my opinion, baseball fields in the city of Fresno at Fresno State.
Yeah.
And kids 5 and under are free. So it's not about us making money. It's paying back the bills that we have to pay. Because nothing's for free. We have to pay some of the bills to use some of these venues and a couple of the other things. But it's just a community event for our members to come out and enjoy.
For sure. You know, Mark, for you, you look like you can play the game. Are you playing the game?
I am not. I'll be in the stands. I'll be cheering.
But when it comes to this event, for sure, and seeing everybody that's going to be involved, obviously, you know, opportunities for the kids to really soak in the event like this. And tell me a little bit about just like the outreach in terms of what influences a game like this can do for kids who, you know, sometimes maybe they grow up and they want to be a cop, or maybe they want to be a firefighter as well, or something like that. And having that kind of be an aspect for kids to realize, hey, this is a profession that could be something for them as well. What is that like to interact with the kids potentially in a game like this?
I think it's extremely positive. I mean, they get to see firefighters and law enforcement in a different light. You know, we're not in uniform. I've had people, you know, that have seen us in plain clothes, and they've even said that that we look human. So it's nice for them to be able to come and see us and come and talk to us out of uniform and just get a different feel for us.
We can bring in I think we have a late addition to the guest here, so we can bring him in right now if he wants to come in here. So we got a representative who's walking into maybe the Lions Den here.
This is Keola Park. He's never in a Lions Den, trust me.
We want to get him close to the mic here. What's your name again, sir? Where are we?
Keola Park.
Keola Park. I'm going to see if I can. Hopefully I spelled it right on my paper. All right. Keola, I'm going to assume you're with the fire department based on what you're wearing there.
Yep.
So you're the representative from the fire side of things. So let's get your perspective here real quick. We've been talking about the event. We've been talking about the influence of the event for the community and the support of it. But I want to get your perspective from the fire side of things. Just being involved in an event like this, third annual right now, second open to the public, this game coming up on Wednesday. What's exciting from the fire department's perspective about this baseball game coming up on Wednesday?
You know, it's very exciting just to get out there with our brothers and sisters and going against, you know, Fresno PD, who we have strong relationships with, and doing it right around 9/11, such a pivotal time of the year, you know, back in 2001, when the attacks occurred in New York. So it's just a kind of to get everybody out, get everybody together, and family friendly event.
Yeah, certainly. And you mentioned obviously what this game is about. I asked the perspective from the gentlemen who have been here so far, but for you, you know, your perspective on the importance of honoring September 11th. We're 24 years removed, just a few days and change from that. But for an event like this to honor that memory, what does it mean to you from your perspective?
You know, from the first responder perspective, it means a lot, you know, and just paying homage to those that came before us. And you always hear never forget. And this is just something that we utilize just to ensure that we really, truly never forget.
Certainly. From the much more lighter side of things, the baseball game last year ended in a tie. And I know there's got to be a lot of talk about that from the year prior. What is the perspective from the fire department to say, hey, maybe we can take it this year?
Yes, so the year prior, Fresno PD beat Fresno Fire. And last year, they were beating us, but they made some errors towards the end of the game, let us back in, and we took it as a win. You know, they say a tie is never truly a win, but for us, Fresno Fire, and the way we go about the game, baseball is a tough game, you know, to get, and especially with wooden bats, and it's not that easy of a game. They give you a round bat and a round ball, and they tell you hit it square, you know, so we took that tie as a win. But this year, we had a scrimmage last week against Clovis East, but with the Fires right now, we're not sure how we're going to fill our roster, but
yeah.
We're going to ensure that it's going to be a fun night.
Of course, we're appreciative of what you guys are offering to that side of things with the fires going on, and appreciative of your guys' help on that, and obviously. But the hope is obviously a good roster out there for Wednesday. Do you care to share the in front of enemy territory here of what it'll look like for the baseball team and the fire department? Who are running out there?
I think we got some newer members, not the same pitchers that we had in the years past. Actually, one of our pitchers played on the Fresno State National Championship team, but he just deployed to one of the fires, so he'll be gone. But we got some young, hungry kids that are going to come out and hopefully hold it down for us. But again, Fresno PD is always a tough opponent. They got good athletes, good pitching, and it's going to be a fun time.
So should I say the pressure's on the PD?
We already scouted them. They do have good pitching.
And we'll say this. Fire had a lot more fun, I think, than our guys did last year. You know, every run they had, there were fire extinguishers going off in their dugout. And I think we have a brother combo. PD okay. and fire. Yeah. So there were some antics at first base, I recall. Yeah. So I'm hoping our guys show up with some love and get after them
a little bit.
We'll
see what kind of antics are out there as far as the game is concerned. Guys, we're running out of time, but I want to make sure we get the right info out there for the people who want to go on Wednesday one more time. How can people find what you guys are doing? We have flyers that we put it on our social media side of things. Obviously, we'll have the game coming up this Wednesday. I'll be live there from basically as soon as the Giants game is over on Wednesday. Giants are playing the Diamondbacks. We'll be there live. We'll say 4:00 start of the show. But we have tickets, general admission. It looks like you can buy them beforehand, right?
Yeah.
So people can find that. Is that flyer out there for you guys on your social media areas?
It is
as well?
On our social media page for the Fresno Police Officers Association.
Gotcha. So be sure to look out there, Fresno Police Officers Association. Game starts at 6:15. Gates open at 5:30 at Bob Bennett Stadium. But some tailgating, some fun stuff beforehand.
It's open to the public at 4 p.m. And it'll be those booths that I talked about earlier. They can go out and walk around and have a good time and talk to some firemen and some police officers.
Great time. Great time to do that as well. So that's everything. I want to make sure I got everything there. Guys, I appreciate you guys coming on the show. And good luck to either team. I don't got a dog in the fight. So just hope everybody has fun. All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys. And we'll see you Wednesday. All right. We'll be right back with more Behind the Bench right after this on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big thanks to our previous guests in the last hour, Robert Valdez, Jeff LeBlue, Mark Anderson, and Keola Park. So big thanks for those guys. Robert Valdez, Jeff LeBlue, Mark Anderson from the Fresno Police, and Keola Park from the Fresno Fire. Can't wait for Wednesday's show. Jorge, this should be a fun one coming up on Wednesday. We'll have a lot of guests, kind of like I call those the car wash shows, where we just kind of have guests rolling through and just talking everything in terms of baseball, obviously 9/11 and all that great stuff involved with the community aspect of the Fresno Police versus Fresno Fire Department baseball game. And plus, they got a score to settle, man. When you tie and you can only play once a year, man, you got to be thinking that 365 up until this game coming up. Jorge, imagine if like the local Army guys went up against local Navy guys or whatever, or anything like that, or local Air Force. How about that? Army versus Air Force, and you tie at a baseball game, you guys would be talking so much smack the whole entire year, right?
Yeah, I think it's, something. At the end of the day, we're all, in the same community.
Of course.
But it does give you a little bit of a, I don't know, like a pride to say that you beat them on something other, mm-hmm. On something. I mean, it's baseball, but at the same time, it's fun in games, and it's cool. It's cool, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see. Can't wait. Can't wait for that. We have some sports news brought to you by Valley Pure. A lot of sports items on the docket here. And it's all involving the 49ers. And, boy, you beat the Seahawks. But the question is, at what cost, Jorge? Because according to Adam Schefter, George Kittle looks to be sidelined multiple weeks with a hamstring injury. That is one part of the news here. But also the other news that I don't think people were seeing here coming. Brock Purdy has a left shoulder and toe injury that makes him uncertain for Sunday's game against New Orleans. They'll see how practice goes for that, but we could see his status become unavailable. You would have Mac Jones starting potentially, and it would be Clovis West's Adrian Martinez as the backup if Brock Purdy is to miss football games. 49ers, my joke is more like 40 IRs with the injury situation. Bad joke.
Go ahead and boot yourself, man. Go ahead and boot.
40 IRs. IRs.
Oh, I don't have it yet there yet. So.
No, hold on. We have it. It's somewhere in there. Oh, is it the trombone effect? Is that what we want to do? All right. There you go. What? Anyways. But Jorge, worried? You're worried?
I'm more worried about the Kittle injury. I think, a tough game after of last Saturday, Sunday. It's part of the game for Purdy. I mean, yeah, they have to say, look, they're injured because they're not going to practice. Otherwise, they'd be like, oh, he's not practicing. But I think, at the end of the day, he's going to play on Sunday, and he'll be all right. But the Kittle one is the one that really hurts.
Yeah. We'll get into maybe the tight ends in my next segment, which will do some who's been naughty, who's been nice here for week one of the NFL and also of sports. I got it. By the way, you guys, Niners just signed Kendrick Bourne, 1 year, $5 million deal. So here comes some reinforcements for you. By the way, Juwan Jennings also hurt his shoulder in the game, but I don't know if he'll miss some time. I haven't seen anything on that yet.
They haven't said anything about it, but the reason why they signed Bourne was because of that injury to Jennings.
Says Jennings' MRI came back clean on the shoulder. So it sounds like Jennings avoided the worst. Not sure if it means he's still going to miss time because the shoulder is sore. So, man, a lot changing for the 49ers here in terms of that, and we could see some potential movement here on the on everything. By the way, just to clarify, Adrian Martinez is not in the active roster net right now. He's on the practice squad for the 49ers, but you could see him being called up, I would assume, in terms of that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they just got to see how it goes through the week, but I think he'll get called up for sure.
Outside of it, though, the 49ers get the job done. They beat Seattle. Judging by the aspect of how everything's kind of turning for the 49ers, getting that win, you pile up the wins now, and hopefully the guys come back later in terms of the troops, right, with Ayuk, with DeMarcus Robinson, still on the mend in terms of it. So we'll see where it comes from. Amazingly enough, it seems like the cleanest bill of health guy right now is McCaffrey in terms of the game coming up.
Yeah, I think he went out for a couple plays during the game, but overall he looked good.
The only guy I think you wish got hurt was Jake Mooney. No, I'm kidding.
Why?
I'm kidding.
Then we wouldn't have a kicker at all.
It just seems like Kyle just can't quit him, man.
I'd rather have him than nothing.
You'd
at
rather?
All.
Of course you would. Of course you would. You would have, I don't know, anybody. How can the Bills sign Matt Prater up the street to go win a game last night? Jake Mooney can miss two kicks.
How? But I can't argue with you with this, because you're just gonna take the saying that
I'm
he's
results
bad.
Based. I'm results based. He's less
and
than.
And we won last night.
That's fair.
They won.
No thanks to him.
What are you talking about? He scored the last.
The Alex extra point to go up by four. Wow. Him doing the bare minimum of his job. I'll forever hate Jake Mooney. I'm sorry. I'm doing it for my friends, too, because I have friends who hate Jake Mooney, Jorge. Hate
That's
him.
Fine.
Hate him.
That's fine.
With a capital H. All right. Let's take a break. We'll react to it all. Who's been naughty? Who's been nice? Coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt Entz. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Monday, Reaction Monday. Man, we only have a little bit of time left in this show. I got so much to get to, and I don't think I have enough time to do it. We got till 5 o'clock today, so we send you up to Monday Night Football, the broadcast between the Vikings and the Bears. Of course, we're going to head over to Major Wager right after we're done here and have some fun at me and Ed's Victory Grill. Major Wager with Carter, of course. I got the bet card in front of me. I got a bet card in front of me, Jorge, so I can't wait to dive into that. I think we'll do it in the final segment there, a little final segment into it as far as that's concerned. Let's talk about everything. I still don't feel like I can chew on everything that we had over this weekend. We talked a little Fresno State, just a little bit. I don't think we really, totally dived into it. We might deep dive it. I'm going to do a deep dive tomorrow, I think. Gabe Camarillo's coming on tomorrow. I got him locked down, so we'll do that. I think I'll save some Niners conversation tomorrow as well, because guess who we got booked in tomorrow? Guy Haberman. People remember Guy here locally.
Yeah, of course.
So Guy's coming on tomorrow to talk some Niners. At first, I thought at the start of this day, be good news. maybe there's some mixed feelings about the Niners right now in terms of everything. But of course, Jorge, the eternal optimist, sitting here. Ah, we're good.
I mean,
that's fine.
We're going against the Saints.
Better than me. Better than me. Who lost to the Raiders? And maybe the Raiders are good. Let me convince myself of that. Maybe the Raiders are good.
Yeah. Maybe the Raiders are.
Quick question before we get into who's been naughty, who's been nice. Who had the most impressive win yesterday? The Niners, the Rams, or the Raiders? It's a good question.
Yeah. The Rams. I want to say the Rams, but I'm going to go ahead and say the Niners, just because they were battling someone from their own conference, their own.
Yeah.
Division.
The Raiders on the road, though, man. But the Niners were on the road, too. But the Rams played, I think, the best caliber opponent. The Texans aren't, the worst team in the world.
Yeah, true.
So.
They were also on the road.
No, the Rams are at home.
We're home?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was at SoFi. So.
Okay. Yeah, but the way the preseason looked for the Rams, they look good. I mean, they look good enough to make the playoffs, be a playoff team. So I guess it was expected for them to win.
How about Puka getting, like, popped and his eye just bleeding the entire game? You see that?
Yeah.
Dude still put up 23 fantasy points for me. Like, what? It was like 10 catches for 120-something yards. And just Puka, also the game-sealing catch on third down to win the football game for the Rams. How about Puka last night?
I wish that would have happened to Xavier Worthy. You know, he just got up and continued playing. But
yeah, we had a rough go for Xavier Worthy, which, by the way, it sounds like separated shoulder. He's foregoing surgery, and he's going to wear a brace and just heal it up that way.
I got him as my number one, man.
Friendly fire, by the way, courtesy of his teammate Travis Kelce. I saw a video. People are conspiracy theorizing because Taylor talked just a little too highly of Xavier Worthy on the podcast, and people are saying it's an inside job.
Right,
Travis Kelce.
She was too excited to getting him.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not alleging anything malicious on the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, yet allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. All right, let's go to who's been naughty, who's been nice. And for people who don't know what this segment is, we did this last year during the football season on Mondays. I go through three people who, or three teams or aspects or whatever, who did good, who did bad. And we do three on each side. Jorge, it's all dependent on how you feel. Where are you going? You want to go who's been naughty or who's been nice here on the list?
Let's go who's been nice.
Who's been nice? I'll start with a who's been nice. And I'm going to give it to Jake Tongas. Jake Tongas, tight end for the San Francisco 49ers. That was a nice catch.
You know, I knew him because during the preseason, I seen his name. And I was like, that's a weird name for, you know, a football player. That's just a weird name at all overall. But, I mean, I never seen it before. So that's why it caught my eye and I kept my eye on him. And then I saw him coming into the huddle on in replacement of Kittle, and I was like, "Huh, okay, I guess he's giving him some playing time."
Little maybe pop quiz: is Jake Tongas a rookie or not?
No, he's not.
He's not a rookie. You know that. All right. Yes, he is a third-year player. I can give you 100 guesses of what college he's from.
100 guesses where college he's from?
Yeah.
All right. Hold on.
You can
he's,
do this.
D1.
D1. Yeah.
Okay, is he from the top five? What do they call the
AP top five? No.
No. What do you mean?
Like AP top five college? Or no, he's not in there.
Okay. No, not AP top five. I mean, group of five conference.
Yeah. Yes. He's a group of five. I'll even give you West Coast.
West Coast.
Okay. Yeah. You're the West Coast guy.
So West Coast guys. Was Washington?
No, not Washington. No.
California West Coast?
California.
Really?
Why don't you just say California?
Well, yeah, I guess.
He's from Cal.
Cal.
Yeah, Cal Bear. He's a Cal Golden Bear.
Cal Bear.
Berkeley guy. Jake Tongas. But anyways, just thinking about third and two and thinking about the stakes of it, right? The Niners down three. They don't get this completion. Are you executing a field goal with how Jake Moody's head case has been? Maybe, to see if you want to go to overtime. Or would you roll the dice on a fourth down possible play there at the four? I think it was at the four. Brock Purdy rolling around on what we now know was a bum toe and a bum left shoulder. Rolling to his right, running out of room, and throwing into, I think it was triple coverage. And Jake Tongas somehow picks it out of the air and makes the touchdown grab. Clutch play, biggest clutch play, one of the top five clutch plays of the weekend.
I think he played basketball because the way he went up for that ball, I was like, oh, yeah. He's got, you know, he kind of reminded me of another Cal guy. That play reminded me of him of Tony Gonzalez.
Tony Gonzalez?
Gonzalez, that play.
Just that play. Because
just a play.
We're not saying Tongas.
Yeah,
Tony Gonzalez.
There's a lot of.
I mean, not since a rolling to the right throw to the end zone was more impressive than maybe the Dwight Clark throw.
I remember Tony Gonzalez going out and catching balls over people who would think they're going to have an interception like that. That was a very similar play that Maybe they teach that at Cal.
I'm not being hyperbolic here, but I might say it was the best throw since the Dwight Clark throw to a tight end and rolling to his right in the final bit minutes. Is that fair?
I don't know. I've seen a few.
Go through your Rolodex of rolling to your right touchdown from to a tight end from 49ers.
49ers?
And I can only think of two now. It's Dwight Clark and it's Jake Thomas. That's not a Kittle touchdown. That's not a Vernon Davis touchdown.
The T.O., there was a T.O. one.
Yeah, but it's only to tight ends. I'm only counting the tight end touchdowns.
Vernon Davis had one. Delanie Walker.
Delanie Walker?
But it wasn't in that diary of a situation.
No. All right, we'll just do the massive proclamation without any sort of historical context. Greatest tight end catch rolling to his right in the back of the end zone
since Dwight Clark. I would say it of this decade. Let's just go with this decade.
Jake Tongas, congrats to you. All right, let's go to a Who's Benatti. I'm doing it. Pac-12 refs, what are we doing in the Fresno State game? Do you know? I do a little contribution to the bark board. Or hey, you know this, right? May I pull up Exhibit A of why I'm very mad at the refs? Let me read a little thing I wrote.
Go ahead.
Player of the game. Kavion Thunderbird. He's crucial to the second level of the defense needing their A game with the scramble ability, and I look for Thunderbird to be in a lot of the action. Maybe a forced fumble in this game. Let's see what happens. I wrote that Thursday. He forces a fumble. Could have potentially stopped the game for Oregon State, could have potentially put this game out of the way. And then no flag thrown. We go to commercial. And suddenly we come back, and he's ejected from the game and called for targeting on a play where the wide receiver was called, quote-unquote, defenseless when he took three steps with the football? I'm sorry.
But what I didn't understand is that they were saying, oh, he's going for the head. Even if with the pads, he's going against a defenseless
joke.
Defenseless player. I'm like, he's going...
He's
really
making
fast.
A play on the ball, too.
He's making a play on the ball. He's going really fast. That velocity against the velocity that the other player's coming, you can't just stop. You can't just be like, oh, sorry. No.
Matt Entz is a better man than me.
They said, if he would have had his head up, he would have looked and seen that the
he took three steps. That's his damn fault for having his head down.
That's
You keep your head up. Head on a swivel, wide receiver.
It made no sense to me. Made no sense.
That is a football play. It was ridiculous, and the refs should be ashamed. Outside of all the other BS calls that were out there, including the fumble or the holding on the kickoff return, whatever that was. When you see Rayshon Luke speeding past that ref who threw a flag 40 yards down the field because he apparently saw something 20 yards away. Like, what are we doing there? Insane, insane stuff. The refs gotta go. Whoever that ref crew was, I hope to never see them again.
I think and this happens a lot with, big teams, is that they just, very home.
Yeah.
Home team, I don't know. It's
all right. We got to keep going here. Who's the next Benice? We got Josh Allen last night. Josh Allen, just incredible stuff. Big time comeback. I picked the Ravens to win. The Ravens are my Super Bowl champion. And now I'm quaking because who can stop Buffalo if they're going to be down 15 like that and still come back and win the football game, needing three more possessions? The strip of Derrick Henry was incredible, by the way. Ed Oliver was insane, by the way, last night for the Buffalo Bills. But Josh Allen manufacturing that comeback, insane game by Buffalo. Our dude from Fireball, man. I thought he lost the title last night to Lamar Jackson, and he took it right back with 5 minutes to go.
And
made it his game.
And they didn't give him that one first down he got.
Yeah, exactly.
When he slid, I don't know. I feel like they were dead twice.
Oh, yeah.
At least.
Dead 14 times last night. Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry breaks for that run, and I'm like, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry does that to your team, you're done.
The second run that he breaks, the last one he broke, they couldn't catch him.
Yeah.
I was like, this is insane. This guy's insane. Like you can't be... However, I did feel like there's still a chance because the score was so close. So yeah. I felt like there was still a chance, but it was going to take everything they had, and they gave it all.
Yep. Who's Benatti? Next one. We got the Dolphins, and I would just state this, they allowed something that has never happened in Indianapolis Colts history, which I like to believe, which is a quarterback leading seven drives for seven scores. Even Peyton Manning has never done what Daniel Jones did yesterday. Jeez. That Dolphins team is so horrendous. I got to make fun of Joe for it every time I see him now. I'm no surprise he showed up to work late today. No, I'm kidding. Joe's hard work at Nature Wager. I'm not going to slander him like that. Joe got to feel bad for this Dolphins team. They look like the worst team in the NFL, and it is by a country mile. So.
Yeah, the Dolphins, I don't know where they are, man. I don't know what their thing is. It just, to me, it's like they're even a team. It just feels like they don't want to play anymore. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Last Be Nice, it's Nate Landman, my favorite new name. It's the Rams linebacker who punched out that football of Ogunbowale to win the game, basically, for the Rams. That is the greatest punch-out I have ever seen in the National Football League. Do you see how far that ball flew on that final drive for the Texans?
It was pretty insane.
Nate Landman knew exactly what he was doing, and then as soon as the recovery happened, that was the best celebration I saw all day in terms of a team winning a football game. Nate Landman, best punch-out I've seen in, like, 10 years since, like, Peanut Tillman. Man, that was sick. I can't wait to get into it with the Rams there. That guy, if he's going to make a plays like that, the Rams are hard to beat.
Yeah, I don't know. It was one of a kind plays that you just, you know, there's special game plays that you just get once in a life, not a lifetime, but like once a game at least.
You never see a guy line up like that and just suddenly just go swing clean right at the football. That is insane stuff. Insane stuff. My last Benatti, Ryan Walker. The closer for the Giants, who blew it on Saturday. And the good vibes are gone because the Giants have now lost two in a row and have blown an opportunity to at least get closer in that race for the playoffs. So you needed to win 2 or 3, and the Giants were winning 2-0 in the ninth inning, and Ryan Walker couldn't get a single out, and he ruined the vibes. He ruined the vibes. Ryan Walker, you're dead to me.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking, definitely heartbreaking. But at the same time, I kind of felt that our luck – had just, you know, depleted a little bit. It's not really gone, but it just, you know, we won so many games in a row that it was just, you know.
It's done so. Mm-hmm. Giants are dead. Back, they're dead. Anyways, play tonight.
I wouldn't say dead.
Yeah, they're close to death. Close to death.
Adequately, we're still alive. Right?
They're not as bad as the Dodgers, who blew a no-hitter with one out to go and still lost the game up when they were up 3-0 with one out to go. That I've never seen. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, Johnny Bravo's in studio. It's playoff baseball coming up tomorrow for the Grizzlies. Let's preview it next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Keeping our pack show going where we have our guest of honor here in this 4 o'clock hour. It's 4:20 time zone as far as the hour is concerned. We got Johnny Bravo, who's in studio potentially last time of the year. We'll see.
We'll see. Hopefully not.
Hopefully maybe we'll get him back in for another time being. But Johnny, good to have you in here, man. And we're talking playoffs.
It's crazy, man. Playoffs are here. Thanks for having me. Grizzly Monday, the final, at least in season, Grizzly Monday, right?
Exactly.
Both the regular season and postseason. But yeah, team wrapped up their final regular season away series just last night in Rancho. Took 5 of 6 against the Quakes. So that always feels really, really good. And just kind of rolling into first home playoff game tomorrow.
Good momentum going Great into momentum. A game coming up tomorrow night. And people are excited. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm going to be there tomorrow night. I would imagine the Hope packed sellout crew. But before I get into any of that, you brought in some special gifts for us here.
I did.
And I'm going to get this on the camera here.
Very nice.
See if we can throw it up in front of the camera. Jorge, tell me if I got it on here. We're good. Johnny giving us some fresh off the print playoff towels.
Yep.
For the Grizzlies. We get our first look at this thing, man. Are fans getting these tomorrow?
Are getting those first 2,000 fans. You know, this is the first time in our organization's history we've done the full color. So that's something that we're really excited for. You know, it's usually your really cheap towel with, you know, your one color print, and that's kind of it. But, you know, it's a big series, right? Big chance for our fans to get out and support. So tomorrow, gates open, all gates open for all fans at 5:35. We want people to be able to get in early. Like I said, those first 2,000 people. You talk about wanting to get a sellout, and man, I mean, the community support's been absolutely fantastic. It really has. The Kodiak Club already sold out. Like, you know, it's as always is, right? That's always one of the first places to go. But, you know, part of that is tickets are just $12, right? Wow. If you're talking field box, reserve, and terrace level. So, I mean, those tickets, especially on premium nights, get up to the mid-30s. We figured for the playoff games, we want to pack the house. We want to pack Chicchancy Park. So $12 tickets, so you can come cheer on the team and, you know, get the playoffs started right.
Let's talk about how this team got here, right? Because it has been a journey this year.
That's a good way to put it, I think.
for those who may have not been following the Grizzlies this year, and obviously in minor league baseball, things ebb and flow, things change, people show up, people go, all that great stuff. But it really is been a tale of two halves for this team in terms of it. And if we want to do a little just trip down memory lane in terms of some things, you know, from where it started to where it is,
Johnny. Huge change, right?
Huge change, right?
I mean, I think above all, and you know, you and I talk about it every year, but the California League having a first half champion and a second half champion, I mean, this is why the league does that, right? Where you look at the Fresno Grizzlies of the first half, and there were some rough games. You know, there were some rough outcomes. And, you know, on the flip side, you look at San Jose, who was red hot and, you know, played really good baseball, locked up the first half really early. And, you know, now it's a little bit of the reverse, right? And it's same thing in the Southern Division. Rancho Cucamonga, who did, you know, some incredible things in that first half, are now 13 games back at once everything was all said and done in the second half. So really important, I think, for the, you know, ability to have a first half champion, second half champion. And like we said earlier, the momentum's hot. You know, we've got all the skill there. And this team is really a completely different team than you saw in April and May.
I want to go all the way back to where it all started. Opening night.
Yep.
Walk-off opening night. The Grizzlies wouldn't have it any other way. Do you think back to that one? Or, like, is this an omen of things to come, the walk-off mentality?
Hope so. Between that, between Kevin Fitzer, who's had a good couple of them now, a big walk-off to be able to send us to the postseason, clinch our spot. This team's definitely found a handful of interesting ways to win games. But, man, I mean, that opening night, you can't write it any better, right? You know, it's the kind of things you dream about, packed house, fireworks after the game and all that, and to be able to have a walk off, you know, to kind of send everyone home happy and set the attitude for the rest of the season was huge.
What do you look back to? Can you narrow it down and give me like three memories for you? Is there like three memories you think back to the regular season? Maybe if you have five, I'll go up to five.
I appreciate that. Can I do 66? Like, I feel like I got one from every single game.
I get you. What do you got?
Yeah, no, obviously opening day is always super special to all of us, right? It really is the culmination of 6 months of hard planning, you know, and your ability to kind of get to welcome the fans back out to downtown Fresno. No, it means a lot. And, you know, again, we always say in marketing, you know, you control what you can control. You know, you can't control what happens on the field, right? But having that walk off is pretty spectacular. So that was amazing. I mean, man, 4th of July sellout was, you know, another one. And I'm going to kind of go through all the hits here.
That's fair.
But to be able to have a sellout on 4th of July, especially after last year when it was, you know, 115 degrees that weekend.
It was super nice that day.
Yeah, this year's absolutely gorgeous. And to be able to call that sellout, you know, it's something that we work towards for every single game, right? And some games you aren't going to hit it. Some games, you know, you get things kind of fall into place. And 4th of July, it really did. And again, to have that spectacular fireworks show where you just invite all the fans down to the field are super, super exciting. I mean, the various promotions that we've had throughout the year that kind of jump out, you know, is the Chris McDonald, Shooter McGavin appearance was just unreal. Like, it, without a doubt, the largest appearance we've ever had at the ballpark. You know, and you can't forget that we had Kate Flannery earlier this year, too, right, from The Office. But I think, you know, one of those ones that I'll definitely remember forever, just being a huge, huge baseball fan, is the Ethan Holliday debut, right?
Of course.
And to be able to see this legacy player, you know, hit his first professional hit, take his first professional at bats, and then just not this past week, but the past home series, to have his dad, Matt Holliday, in attendance. And, you know, I took this photo that I only shared with Ethan and Matt, because I figured, you know, it's kind of one of their things. But to see Matt Holliday sitting there in the dugout club as Ethan's getting ready to take his first pro at bat, you know, in front of his father, it was kind of like, wow. This is really, really cool. Those are absolutely some of the top highlights. You know, I think all of those are getting ready to be superseded, of course, once we lock up this championship.
Of course.
You know, I think that would be pretty high up there. But it's just truly been an incredible year of baseball.
You've been with the Grizzlies and for a bit now, and remind me, have you been around some of the other championship runs? Have you?
You know, I've been around the runs. I've been around the playoff runs. Yeah. Don't have a ring yet. No. But you know that I think back to that 2021 team that had your Drew Romo and your Zach Veen, and you know they kind of felt like the team of destiny. You know, and those were the guys that it was just such raw talent. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was one of those years where San Jose kind of snuck up from behind and did their San Jose thing, and then you got a couple years with Modesto having our number, you know, is some of their Lake Elsinore having our number. It's exciting to be able to bring it back again. And I got to tell you, and I'm not just saying this because I'm trying to sell tickets, like this team truly has an energy unlike any of the other
ones. I was going to ask, because what is it like around these guys? Like sometimes it's what is the ultimate goal is for these guys to get to the next level and obviously contribute to the ultimate prize, which is a World Series champion. But this kind of moment can mean a lot for guys if they want the pressure of being in postseason feeling. And these guys, I'm sure, are embracing that. What has been the vibe around these players as they realize now it's all for all the marbles, it's all going here, and we're getting ready to try to win the whole thing?
Yeah, it's a lot of confidence, and it's a lot of excitement. You know, I think these guys above all really truly feel like they're supposed to be here, and that's true. They are. You know, they've absolutely fought tooth and nail, you know, fought through some adversity earlier in the year, and I think above all it's just the excitement that, hey, we're playing really good ball, we just got to go out and do our job. And having the momentum of taking 5 of 6 from any team, right, coming into the playoffs is huge. So you talk about that, you talk about the pressure, right, and you look at some of the pieces that we've added later in the year. You've got your Roldy Brito, your Tanner Thatch, who just won Player of the Week, announced this morning, and your Ethan Holliday. And I think that's very intentional of the Rockies, right? You look to put these young kids in these pressure systems, you know, kind of test what they're made out of, as, you know, the game's on the line, as the season's on the line. And it definitely also adds a boost of energy to the clubhouse too, right? You're getting a little bit of reinforcements. You're seeing you're getting these young kids who are getting their career started and, you know, have a chance to make this team better and make an instant impact and go on and win a championship.
What about the coaching staff too? Because
yeah.
The energy around that, and I'm sure they want everything for these guys in terms of the success and finding the winning ways, but it's a first-year coach with Coach Galvez, right? And and how the staff has been able to navigate this season. I got to imagine, and maybe they won't talk about it until the season's over, but you got to feel like these guys feel like, wow, this is validating what we've been trying to do and build here as well.
Yeah, no question. Absolutely. You know, and like you mentioned, you know, Cesar Galvez, his very first season at the helm of the Fresno Grizzlies. And you talk so much about single A being about development, and you kind of think about it being for the players and that's it. And that's not true, right? Mm-hmm. It's for everyone in this level. And, you know, Galvi is definitely one of those examples, and he's, you know, an incredible leader. You know, he's got a lot of respect, but he also is fun, you know, and he's just a great guy to be around, as is the entire coaching staff. You know, Greg Jones, Jerry Sullivan, and also Dave Keller is, you know, a really fun, unique mix that provides that clubhouse with a really good veteran presence when you get to the Jerry Sullivans and the Dave Kellers of the world, but then young experience as well, you know, and guys like Galvey, who's more recently out of the leagues than someone like Dave Keller, and, you know, knows what it's a little bit like on a more recent scale with your day-to-day impact. So it's fun. They're a great staff to be around, and they're excited as anyone to be in the postseason.
Yeah, I got to imagine just their nature of the way they let this team play is a mark that I'm excited to see what they do in the postseason. I don't want them to change anything. They're just let these guys go. Yep. In terms of that, the brand of baseball, certainly the power has been there, you know, the speed of the baseball as well. These guys like to run. In terms of it, it's aggression mm-hmm. that I think a lot of people really can get behind in terms of this Grizzlies team. And you've seen them face off against San Jose. We know what San Jose's been about. They've been the big bad guys yep. this year in terms of it. But Fresno's owned this second half.
Absolutely. Like it's no doubt about it.
No doubt about it. And I don't know if there's any like good-hearted fun between you, the front offices of San Jose, and you guys. But
we're pretty tight,
like?
Which is kind of cool. Like yeah. I got to say, out of anyone in the league, they're probably the one that we have just the most consistent collaborative efforts with. Yeah. Like I was literally just texting their photographer as I was walking in here because she's coming down for the game. And we just, yeah, obviously you want your side to win on the field or whatnot, but we've talked a lot about that front office camaraderie this year. That's a group where that absolutely exists. I'm on calls with Matt Alonji, their GM, every couple weeks, just saying how things are going and whatnot. So they're a good crew there, but you bet everything that as soon as the game starts, we want to win that for sure.
You know, I'm not going to put you on the spot. I was thinking, who would go at it tomorrow in terms of maybe a game one lineup or anything like that. But there's so many guys and ways you can go with this team. At least you have options. Galvez as far as
absolutely have options, right? All the way up and down the lineup, whether it's, you know, on the pitching side of things, yeah. you know, our staff has been really, really solid this year, you know, and you've got a lot of young, exciting guys where, you know, you could, if you're Galvey, you could kind of close your eyes and throw a dart at it and, you know, you would not have a bad pick, yeah. right? So that's really exciting. And again, the offense has just clicked at the right time. And you've got that offensive power that is really shown itself over these past couple of weeks. You know, Ethan Holliday having a home run almost at the same exact time as Jackson, his brother earlier this week was fantastic. Yeah. And again, it's a different team than you saw in April and May. It's a team that's playing with confidence, that's playing with power, and we'll put the ball in play and make things happen.
Of course, one of the exciting things that we get to do is give you avenues to consume Grizzlies
Absolutely.
Baseball. And one of the exciting announcements we got a chance to announce last week is that every yep. game of the postseason is on 790 for the run. So we're excited about that agreement, and I'm sure you're thrilled about it too.
Couldn't be more thrilled, man.
Let's pat ourselves on the back.
Let's do it. Absolutely. No, it's very, very well deserved. You know, again, it's our fans are so passionate, especially our season ticket holders. And, you know, the Grizzlies wouldn't exist, nor would ESPN Fresno, right, exist without the support of our community and the support of those around us. And, you know, for us to be able to say, yeah, you can catch every single Fresno Grizzlies playoff game, both home and away, you know, on, you know, your home of Fresno sports is absolutely massive. So we couldn't be more thrilled. You know, we hope that fans come out on Tuesday, come out for championship game one on Sunday, you know, have your, whether it's your stream or, you know, your portable radio or whatever, listen to the game while you're at Chicchancy Park. And then when the team's on the road, whether you're in the car or at home, you know, tune in, listen to Tim Slack. And, you know, he just calls an absolutely incredible game. Like, oh my gosh, he's so much fun to listen to. And just listen to the Grizzlies, cheer on the Grizzlies from home as they push their way to a championship.
I'll give you a chance to boast about Tim Slack.
Please.
Just tell the people what it's been like having him on board for this season for you guys.
Yeah, you know, it's been so much fun and it's brought so much joy to, you know, have Tim really navigate his first season with the Fresno Grizzlies and, you know, for him to realize how special this place is and to get to witness someone experiencing that is indescribable because all of us in the front office truly believe in what we do and truly believe in the impact we're able to have in our community in downtown Fresno. And for him to be able to, you know, get to learn that throughout the year. And just the outlook he brings to things is so exciting. And I'm really looking forward to him having a full off season under his belt where he's able to kind of tear everything apart and put everything back together the way he wants. And that's kind of our mindset to pull the curtain way back on how we're approaching the off season on the marketing side is, you know, let's relook at everything. But, you know, there's nothing sacred. There's nothing that absolutely has to stay for 2026 other than the obviouses like Fresno tacos and all that good stuff. But, you know, let's build what makes sense now. And to have an entire offseason with him on this team, couldn't be more thrilled going into 2026.
All right, let's give the people what they need to know in terms of tickets potentially for tomorrow. Of course, Johnny, there's still some available for tomorrow night. You don't want to miss there's nothing else going on in town. You got to be there down at the ballpark tomorrow night, 6:50. How can people still buy tickets for that game?
Yeah, FresnoGrizzlies.com is your number one spot. You can obviously go down to the Chick Chansey Park ticket office. Gates open at 5:35. You will want to be in your seats early because we are going to have, you know, the full playoff roster announcement, right? So you call out your non-starters, your starters. We've got fireworks pregame and postgame.
Wow.
National anthem from Ben Hensley, who actually we both know. So former Fresno State Bulldog Marching Band member. And just say, you know, you got to make sure you're there early so that you don't miss a pitch of Grizzlies playoff baseball down at Chick Chansey Park.
And then keeping tabs on it. I'm not trying to put the cart before the horse, looking to win the championship.
Yep.
When will tickets go on sale if the Grizzlies move on and have that home game on Sunday? When would they go on sale?
Yeah, they'll go on sale immediately as soon as we clinch that spot. So we've got the ticket link built out. We've got it locked down right now. But the moment that the Fresno Grizzlies lock in their spot in that championship series, FresnoGrizzlies.com, it will be there right on the homepage. And, you know, get your tickets fast because that's going to be big. Championship baseball in downtown Fresno.
Yeah, I was saying that. You said Kodiak Club sold out. So those people are really looking for those and everything like that.
Yep.
You just want to. You don't want to miss out.
Yeah,
keep your eye on it. You could be by like 9:30 on Thursday. We could be shopping for some tickets here. So
looking forward to it,
Johnny. I'm excited. I'll be there tomorrow.
Yep.
Which usually means good things.
Good things are coming. I feel it.
So we will see. Game one tomorrow night. You can listen to the game on 790 at 6:35 pregame, 6:50 first pitch. Of course, we have the whole series for you tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, if necessary, Friday. We hope it's not necessary.
Hopefully not. Hopefully, win tomorrow, win Thursday, done.
Take care of business and chill. Johnny, appreciate it as always. Can't wait for playoff baseball tomorrow night.
Thanks, Phil. Go Grizzlies.
Go Grizzlies is right. All right, we'll take a break. We'll wrap up the show and get you set for Monday Night Football next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Are you ready for some football? That's what I got to ask. Are you ready for some football, Jorge?
Yes.
That's what they ask on Monday night, Jorge. And
I always answer yes.
You always answer yes. Because all your rowdy friends are here on Monday night. Is that what the saying goes? Anyways.
Was that the song? Was that...
All my rowdy friends are here on Monday night, right? That's how it closes, and then Monday Night Football, play the music?
I thought it was changed. I thought it changed the lyrics.
Well, it's a different song, but that's the song we grew up on, Jorge.
True.
Is what's his name? Hank Williams? Hank Williams Jr.?
Junior, yeah.
Junior, Junior, right? Yeah. Junior! Anyways. We got Monday Night Football tonight. Little update on what's the schedule for the week. Tonight, Monday Night Football, Vikings and Bears. We'll get into the spread here momentarily. Also tonight, over on 790, my Red Sox. Hello. Coming in hot. Losers of two of their last three to Arizona. Going to go play the Athletics tonight in Sacramento. That's a 6:30 pregame with a 7:05 first pitch. So that's what's on the docket tonight in terms of baseball. What do you got here, Hari? Looks like you want to chime in there.
No,
you look ready to talk. Okay.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just... Red Sox. You know.
My Red Sox?
They're the Red Sox.
Yeah. I canceled the season 2 weeks ago because of Roman Anthony's injury. So.
I would have never canceled my season, even if they were in.
I canceled the Giants season like
yeah,
a month and a half ago.
Yeah, like you said it actually 2 months ago.
I said they were dead in July. Yeah. They're still kind of dead. They're trying not to be dead.
Yeah, we're over 500.
So they kind of. No, you're right at 500. I think you're right at 500.
Oh.
Saturday, Sunday didn't help you. Speaking of those Giants, they'll be back on tomorrow night, 6:15 first pitch, or 6:15 pregame, 6:45 first pitch from from San Francisco. Grizzlies baseball, like we said, tomorrow night, 6:35 pregame, 6:50 first pitch on 790. Wednesday we'll have Giants baseball early afternoon.
Oh, we're also doing the away games for.
We are doing the Grizzlies. Away games. Yes, so
make sure we say the away games.
We will. Thursday and Friday.
We didn't used to do the away games. Now we are.
We are. We are doing, especially for the playoffs. Especially for the playoffs. Wednesday, Giants, Diamondbacks, 12:15 pre, 12:45 first pitch from San Francisco. My show will start at 4:00 on Wednesday, live from the Fresno State Baseball Stadium for our special September 11th broadcast with the fire department and police department. A's baseball and Red Sox baseball will also be on 790. FP's Sunbird Sports Show is on 790 on Wednesday as well, 6 p.m. to 7 over right here on 790. Paul Manner's doing a good job with that show as well. All that and more coming up. We'll get into it more throughout the week as far as that schedule is concerned. Like I said, Grizzlies baseball on 790 Thursday and Friday. All right, let's talk about the Daily Spread brought to you by Chichansey Gold Resort and Casino. We have, what is the spread tonight? Where's my phone? I think the Vikings have to be the favorite tonight, right? Is that what I have to look at? Let me take a look. No, it's the Bears. Bears by a point and a half tonight in terms of favorites are considered. I think there's some disrespect with the Vikings tonight.
Bears plus one?
Bears minus 1.5. Bears are the favorite.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I like the Vikings tonight. I am a see it to believe it kind of person with Chicago. I have yet to believe it since like 2005 with the Chicago Bears team. And let's be honest, even in 05, I didn't really fully believe it. And when they went on to lose the Super Bowl to Indianapolis. So we'll see what goes down in this game tonight. I have a gut feeling Kevin O'Connell knows what he's doing in terms of quarterbacks. My only argument, and I know everybody's like, well, I got to see what J.J. McCarthy does. I got to see what J.J. McCarthy does. And my argument to that is, did you see what he did with Sam Darnold? You had to see what he did with Sam Darnold. And maybe Sam Darnold, let's be honest, Sam Darnold kind of struggled yesterday against the 49ers when he was away from the Kevin O'Connell system. So I believe in Kevin O'Connell as a guy who can make the most out of his quarterbacks. I think he's setting him up for success tonight. And I think the Vikings are going to win by at least a field goal tonight and get a victory on the road. I like the Vikings. I think their defense can swarm on Caleb Williams tonight as well. I think the Vikings defense is an underrated one. I think it's going to be a little lower scoring than most people think, but I'm picking the Vikes. I'm picking the Vikes to win in a quote-unquote upset. I like them tonight.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really close game. I actually believe that the Bears are just going to a 3-point kick, a field goal.
You think they win by a field goal?
By a field goal, yeah. I think they're at home.
Yep.
It's now or never for Caleb Williams.
True.
I think he's got to show what he's got, and I think he's going to be out there. And he's got a couple weapons that he got out there all season. So I'm thinking this is now or never, yeah.
True. I have on my hand the Major Wager bet card that Carter has put together. So if you head over to Major Wager, you can get there by fourth quarter and you can still play, right? If they have enough bet cards out there, you can enter the game. Whatever quarter you come in beforehand, you'll be there for it. So some no-limit bets. Do you think there's somebody OPI, some offensive pass interference in the first quarter? Some guys who are rusty from the game. There's got to be potentially.
Yeah.
Do you think they called against Justin Jefferson?
They're going to throw some deep stuff.
Maybe some DJ Moore offensive pass interference in that game. How about a no limit bet with the call reversed after review in the second quarter?
That's an interesting one right there. Yeah.
3-1 odds, no limit.
I bet that.
How about the Major Wager bet of the night? Do you think Aaron Jones gets a touchdown in the third quarter? I don't know.
Interesting. Oh, third quarter?
Yeah.
I'll put money on it. I don't put a lot of money, but I'll put money on it.
Okay. It's even odds there. How about a no-limit bet on a fumble resulting in a turnover in the third quarter?
No limits. Ooh.
Yeah. Fumbles. I'm looking at the no limits. The no limits is where everybody wins their money.
Yeah, everybody wins their money. Yeah.
And then a fourth quarter no-limit bet on delay of game. I wouldn't bet. Delay of game's tough.
Yeah, that's a tough one, but
there's a good chance delay of game happens in the fourth quarter simply because sometimes when some team's trying to run out the clock and they're in a punting situation and maybe they take a delay if they're at a weird part of the field because they want to run down the clock as much as possible, that's the time you see delay of game in the fourth quarter. So I take that no-limit bet in the fourth quarter, no delay of game. You got to think about how the game script goes. About some Caleb Williams fumble in the first quarter? You think we get one of those? J.J. McCarthy sacked in the second quarter?
I can see that. I'll put money on that.
Yeah. DeAndre Swift touchdown in the fourth quarter?
Ooh,
from the Bears? We'll see. All right.
It's a good car.
Before we go, I know I have to do a little quick read here, and then we'll close out the show. I just realized I have to talk about our friends over at DraftKings. So I'm going to do that real quick, if I can find the music. And so that's what I'm going to do. Football is back. Just want to remind you, of course, that it is your shot at big wins with DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Your game day instincts can score you real money and fast. Here's the play. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats, from the breakout rookies to the elite QBs, and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the better your payout. Really like Justin Jefferson tonight. I'm going more on a lot of Justin Jefferson tonight. Here's the big kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks, just a $5 entry. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code KFIG. That's code KFIG. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call, ride the upside in partnership with DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 18 plus. Age eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded is non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promotions. There you go. DraftKings Pick 6. Like I said, I like a lot of Justin Jefferson tonight. I like a lot of I like some unders. I like some belows, or what do they call them? Lesses. I like some less in the Bears offense tonight.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going less on a lot of things tonight. I think limited scoring. You saw all week one. By the way, 35 touchdown passes, one of the fewest week one outputs we've seen in passing in passing offenses.
I feel like
this year in the NFL.
Defenses were on point this.
It usually always is at the beginning of the season. Then the offenses start to go a little crazy.
A little bit.
All right, Jorge. Good show.
Great show.
See you at Major Wager over at Mean Ed's Victory Grill. Monday Night Football next on 1430.